Okay, I want to look at Ruth. It seemed to me, I've been arguing with God about it, but anyway, he wins. Have a look first of all at Hebrews 3 and verse 10. It's some very, very simple scriptures. And it says this, verse 12, beware, brethren. Right? Now, I figure if it says beware, you got to beware, and there's a reason to beware, If you've never done a study on the word beware, you should do a study on the word to beware to try and beware why you should beware. Does that make sense? Okay? And through the New Testament, it says quite a bit about beware. And so it says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. That means that unbelief is not neutral, it's evil. You agree with that? In other words, I believe that every one of us should be believing for something new and fresh in God, because if you're not, you have an evil heart of unbelief, and if you have an evil heart of unbelief, you please the devil. You agree with that? Okay, that means that I should be able to give you that piece of paper that I spoke about last night, and I should say, write down the things that you're dreaming for, write down the things you're believing for, what things are you taking risks for, what things are you really trusting God for, what things are you stretching your faith for so that you're growing in God. And so it says, beware, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief, because the next part goes in departing from the living God. And I think what happens is we get boring, dull, drab, and uninteresting. We start to say, I can believe for anything for anyone, just not me. And eventually, though we are functioning in God, we have no faith for us. I reckon function is one of the biggest killers in the body of Christ. You just do it because you do it because you do it because you do it because that's what you do. Yeah? There's no real life in it. It's not coming out of a passion. It's not coming out of an excitement. You're just functioning. And it says, but exhort one another daily. How often? Daily. Question, how many people did you exhort today? How many of you come and encourage and upbuild? Because exhortation is supposed to be a lifestyle. Okay? It's actually something, you know, and a lifestyle is something you can either feel or it's something that you can choose to do. And I believe exhortation is supposed to be a lifestyle. So you choose to go and find people to build up, to encourage, to exhort. And then it says, but exhort one another daily while it's called today. In other words, sweetheart, you may not be around tomorrow and neither may they. And so you've got to be people who know how to exhort one another daily. And then it says, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I see a lot of people who sit next to people who are gradually getting hard. All right? Just getting discouraged, just getting a bit hard, just getting a bit weary, just getting a bit despondent. And unless you step out and look to see who you can exhort and encourage, they may get hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And eventually when you get hard, you don't even care anymore, and you do a little bit of sin here and a little bit of sin there, because it doesn't really matter. And then it says, for we become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Okay, have a quick look at Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Okay. And it says, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our faith, or confession of our hope, without wavering, wobbling all over the joint, and quitting, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another. And now there's a thing there that joins those two sentences, and it's an and. The only way that you get to hold fast the confession of your hope without wavering is doing the and as well. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So your whole aim for encouraging and building and stirring up one another is to stir up love and good works. Yeah? And it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day approaching is the day of the coming of Jesus. If you think you get more and more close to the coming of Jesus, our churches should be the most incredibly encouraging, upbuilding, awesome places to go on the face of the earth. Yeah? You should walk in there and not have Mrs. Plastic Fantastic saying, praise God, it's good to see you in the house of the Lord. But literally walk in and feel so encompassed by the care and the love and the encouragement of people that you walk out of there going, far out. What sort of place was that? That was a good place to be in. Yes? Okay. And so I believe we're supposed to be exhorters and encouragers. And you know what it means is the Bible says in Philemon, it says, love, they had love and faith for one another. Now, another question. You see, one of the parts of the prophetic, and if you have a look in the Old Testament, one of the things prophets did when they came in was they asked questions. Right? It's part of the prophetic. You ask questions. And the question is, how many people do you know in your church who have dreams that haven't yet come to pass? Yeah? Do you know one or two? You see, I believe God gives you Polaroid promises, first of all. You know, Polaroid promise is something God spoke to you in the loo, in the shower, in the traffic, that you know 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 He said it. It sort of got developed on your spirit. You can remember it so well, you actually can see where you were when He said it. Do you know what I mean? Okay, it's developed with all the power of the living God, just like He developed the heavenlies. That sort of intensity, He put that promise, bam, on your heart and on your spirit. You cannot get that taken away by the devil. God gives you those promises. You cannot get that taken away by the devil. But you can give it away. And I see a lot of people that God has invested an awesome promise to, and they've just given it up. And yet it's still as real today as it was when you first got it. Right? And it may be something really weird. In fact, I've discovered when God gives you a promise, you know what? It's always totally impossible. I found that the real Polaroid promises God has given me, there's no way on the face of the earth you could ever do it. Imagine saying to a little guy that's a shepherd, hey babes, you're going to be king. He says, hey, I'm not even involved in family reunions. Going to be king. God loves to give you promises that are impossible because they're the ones you couldn't do in a fit. And you need Him to help you accomplish it. All right, I'm changing my message. I'm sorry. I want to flip over and speak on enlargement, and I'll do this tonight. Okay, have a quick look at Genesis 9, because one of the things I believe that God is saying to the body of Christ is the fact that He's wanting to enlarge our borders and make us believe bigger. Okay? He's wanting to make us believe bigger. Now, I believe you have a bunch of different promises. Okay, number one, you've got your Polaroid promises. If you've never had a Polaroid promise in your whole life, you better come and ask God for a Polaroid promise. I just say Polaroid because it's developed, honey. I remember being in New Plymouth a number of years ago, walking through the shopping center there and through the food hall. I was looking for the Malaysian food. I've got half an Asian stomach. You know, I've learned to eat dried chicken intestines and fish eyeball soup and all sorts of things, you know. And, you know, you just develop some of that. So my taste buds are actually Asian. My husband is in South Africa. My heart is in England. Some ancestry is in New Zealand. I'm an Australian. That makes me a very confused person. But I was walking through this New Zealand food court, and I as I walked past the sushi bar, God simply said to me, you better learn how to eat that. Now, some of you may get wonderful, great five-page revelations from God to your heart. God just drops one-liners on me. Okay? And He said, you better learn how to eat that. I went, sushi, yuck. You know, I love Chinese, and I love Thai, and I love all of that Malaysian food. ugh, but sushi. And I just did a wheelie, went and bought my plate of sushi, said, cool, okay, God, here I go. And ate sushi and went and got a travel brochure on Japan because I knew two things. Number one, I better educate my stomach before I go. And number two, I'm going to Japan. Okay? Now, I haven't been to Japan yet, but I've learned how to eat raw meat and raw fish, and I still hate green tea ice cream. You know, but sometimes God will give you one of those sorts of promises, a Polaroid promise. Second sort of promises you get are the prophetic promises you get through people. I don't mean the woofly waffly ones that float through the air and land around you like snowflakes. I mean the ones that really impact your spirit. Yeah, the ones that really make you go, yes. And then I believe that there are promises that are in this word that you look at and you say, hey, I would love some of that. That would be cool. I would like to walk on water. Would you like to walk on water? That would be cool. Wouldn't it? No, wouldn't be cool for you? I think it would be cool. I like roller coasters. I think that stuff would be cool, to do the unusual and the unexpected in God. And, you know, we look through the Bible, and there are numbers of promises, numbers of things it says. You know, this, when I was brand new back with the Lord at the age of 26, 27, see, you thought I was only 21, I understand that, but when I first came back to Jesus, one of the scriptures I saw was a scripture that said, you're a minister to kings and princes and people in positions of high authority. I said, cool, I'll have some of that. Now, I believe that God is starting to do that around the world now. But at the moment, in the last few years, God has been linking me with lords and ladies. Last year, I went to the opening of Synod, which is the Anglican sort of, you know, planning for the year in London. Went to the opening of Westminster Abbey. Was supposed to be on the list meeting the Queen, but there was some IRA activity and it got shortened down. I thought, what do you do if you meet the Queen? You say, touch your God, and then get shot when she gets slain in the spirit. What do you do with that stuff? I was rather glad that didn't happen. but got to minister to some bishops in the Anglican Church, got to minister to countesses and an IRA peace broker and a guy that ministers to world leaders all around the world. In fact, one of the neat things that's happening in God is that many countries, the leaders of the nations are now turning away from going and seeing their fortune tellers and are going to see spirit-filled Christians and saying, what do you see? Yeah. And I'm watching God increasingly put me in positions with politicians, people in high positions in business, and I'm like, far out, God. What I know about this is positively dangerous. And he just keeps doing it. Because I got a dream way back when I was new in God and said, I would like some of that. And every one of you need to have dreams that will enlarge you. I want to speak about enlargement very quickly. Have a look at Genesis chapter 9. And to enjoy the Bible, you have got to live it. Right? So we got to be there, guys. And it says, verse 18, now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Ham was the father of Canaan. Now, we've got some theological problems here, and you'll see it turn up a few times. It says the order of the sons. In another part of the Bible, it gives a different order. That puts confusion in because normally the first son is the oldest, the second one in the list is the second oldest, and the third one in the list is the youngest, okay? But there's a confusion here, and you'll see it as you read later on through the Bible that there's a different order in one of the other passages. And it says, and Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated, and Noah began to be a farmer. I think it must have been an amazing thing to have been a Noah person. Remember this, imagine spending years and years and years building a boat. I remember seeing a movie at one stage, and it just really made me laugh, because one minute God gave him the vision, and the next minute he woke up and there were piles of cut timber for him to build the boat. I thought, you wish, go fish. It didn't happen that way, sweetheart. You know, he had to cut away at those boards. He had to hack down those trees. And can you imagine what it was like to have people come and say, excuse me, what are you doing? He says, I'm building a boat. Oh, really? How are you going to get a boat that size to the ocean? It's going to rain. What's rain? Because the Bible says the earth was covered with a fine mist. Doesn't actually say it rained. Well, it's going to rain and it's going to flood. What's flood? Now, wouldn't you be seen as a crackpot? Total nutter. And so you look at Noah. He had all this faith. He had all this ability to hear the voice of God. He had such tenacity to push in, hacking away and nailing together things for so many years, believing that it would rain in a land that it probably didn't rain in the first place, but he blows it. What a relief. Do you ever feel like some people are so super spiritual that you would actually like them to make a mistake occasionally? Yeah? Come on. Wouldn't you just let them just blow it a little bit? Come on. And Noah blows it. It says, and Noah began to be a farmer and he planted a vineyard. And then he drank of the wine and was drunk. Okay, it wasn't supposed to be drunk, and became uncovered in his tent. Now, there's a lot of stuff. People sometimes say this guy was later on sexually molested by his son. I think that's rubbish. I think what happened, it says, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. In many cultures I minister to, and I minister in many, many different places and have to learn all the weird cultural things like, please don't blow your nose as you eat with Chinese people, because some Chinese people see it as like you doing something else at a meal loudly. And they think it's really disgusting not only that you blow your nose, but you keep it in your pocket for later. It's okay for them to do this. But you're not allowed to blow your nose. And some people go into nations and they don't do their homework first. And they offend people. You know, of course, Malaysia, you don't do this because it means sexual intercourse. And you never preach this way because it means the same thing. And you have to learn some stuff. Otherwise, you can really offend people. In many cultures around the world, one of the greatest offenses is to see your parents naked. It's almost like having had sexual intercourse with them. Okay, so this is what happens. Here he is. Noah's lying in his tent. Everything hanging out, baby. And it says, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and he told his two brothers outside. How did that happen? He comes out and he goes, you should have seen our dad. All right. Okay. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. Now, Ham's name means hot, and he was some sort of a younger son. Proverbs 17, don't look it up, but verse 7 says, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are a snare of his soul. Fool's mouth is his destruction. We hear a lot about life and death being in the power of the tongue, don't we? But sometimes, don't you say something and you could just chop your tongue up into pieces and feed it to the goldfish afterwards? And the scary thing is, sometimes what comes out of your mouth straight away gets into your emotions and your spirit. Now, isn't it awfully hard when you hear something about someone, you repeat it to someone else, it becomes real to you then, and then you meet that person and realize that's not true. Hmm? And Proverbs 10, verse 8 says, he who uttereth slander is a fool. Well, what happens? Ham takes advantage of his dad's weakness. I guarantee that every Christian in this room has weaknesses. They muff it, they mess it, they really do a mess sometimes. And the temptation is when we're young and when we're hot, and when we're quick to do a thing like Joab used to be, all right? That sometimes what we do, we see the weakness and we go bleh about it to everybody. Yeah? And it's not a sign of maturity, it's a sign of immaturity. All right? And I believe that we need to deal with sin. I don't believe you cover sin, I believe you deal with it. But I tell you what, there's some other things that we need to learn how to cover properly. And we can see he ridiculed. You know, I don't care what sort of parents you have, but the Bible says, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land you're living. I don't care what they've done, find something to honor. Yes. Find something to honor, anything to honor, find something to honor. I don't care how bad your parents were, find something to honor, that your life may be long in the land of the living. And I see that this guy, he comes and he kills himself laughing. He runs around with great descriptions. You should have seen how they blew it. We laughed about the move of the Spirit. We were chatting the other day and saying about 5 or 6 years ago, and the Holy Spirit was really moving in power. And I would go into traditional churches, all right, and they'd say, you can't wear trousers. And so I'd wear a skirt with an elastic waist. And then people would get drunk, and they would hold on to me as they fell down. And I would be standing there in my stockings and underwear. That didn't happen once, that happened numbers of times. And I would turn around to the pastor and say, may I wear trousers tonight? And he would say, yes! As I hitch my skirt back up. And sort of did some wonderful things in terms of cracking tradition in established churches, especially in England. But sometimes we ridicule, but we make no attempt to cover. You know, and no attempt to care enough to come alongside and say, hey, this is not cool, baby. Let's get this right. And so we see Shem and Japheth. Now, Shem and Japheth are different sort of guys. They are unified. They are unified in their determination to cover and to care for others. And too long we've been not unified in a determination to cover up and to care for and to just heal people. Okay, and then I see that these guys, they go backwards. Now, if you've ever been in the ministry in the area of counseling, you know, if you've heard a few stories for a few years, they can get lodged into your head. And when you see that person, all you can do is remember the stuff of their past. Now, what Shem and Ham didn't need to do, Shem and Japheth didn't need to do, was to see the nakedness of their father. And sometimes we actually don't need to see one another's nakedness. Yeah? And I listen to people sometimes and they stand and they give their whole testimony in the church. You know? And I want to go, sweetheart, that happened a long time ago. Give a new testimony. Do you know what I believe your testimony is supposed to be? I don't believe it's your past one. I believe your testimony is what God did last week. And if you've got a fresh testimony in God, no one needs to teach you to evangelize. You're such a mouth on feet, you can't help yourself. Just run backwards and forwards. You'll never guess what God did here. You'll never guess what God... You know, if you're still witnessing about a testimony that happened 500 years ago, I'd suggest you need God to do something fresh in your life. And so these guys had the ability to cover shame. They had the ability to avoid seeing all the details. You know, I said to someone just the other day, I've learned to pray, God, erase my brain in those areas. Because I have ministered to people who have been through incredible things. Straight away, I just say, erase it. Take it away. I don't want to remember it. And we need to be people like that. And so what happens? Noah awoke from his wine. All right? It's a little bit tired. And knew what his younger son had done to him. All right? Now, how did he know? I don't know whether they said it, but there's something where people strip and rip at us in the spirit we know that we know. Yeah? It leaves us feeling exposed, damaged. And I don't think necessarily anyone said, hey, your younger son's been in Peking, dear. I don't think it was like that. I think he knew that he'd been exposed. He'd been damaged. And you know, I see charismatic casualties all over the body of Christ. And a lot of them have been ripped and stripped and just left. And God doesn't want to rip and strip us. He wants to care for us and heal us and cover us. And if we gathered all the charismatic casualties around in the body of Christ and brought them back together, we'd have enormous numbers of people in the church. And so Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. So he said, cursed be Canaan. Now, what? That's the son of Ham. I think it includes Ham as well. All right? A servant of servants he shall be to his brethren. And so a curse came on the one that exposed. That's scary? I think it's pretty scary. And he said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. Okay, these two brothers were interesting guys. First of all, we see that Shem ended up, his name meant fame, and out of the line of Shem came the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Okay? That was quite a blessing, wasn't it? That out of his family line came Jesus. But the other guy, Japheth's name meant extender. He became exceedingly powerful. And I believe that one of the things that God is wanting to do worldwide now is extend our borders, extend our potential, stretch our dreams. And it's one of the reasons that little book Jabez has taken off all over the world. It is not supposed to be a mantra. People are using it as a mantra. You seen that little book in this country yet? Yeah, it's not supposed to be a mantra. All right, I want to look at what will extend you. What will stretch you? Okay, have a quick look at Deuteronomy 10. Deuteronomy 10. Now, you've got to be alive for me, guys. Just wink an eye or wiggle an ear or something, okay? All right, the first thing that will grow you into the potential of your name, which is enlarged or extended, the very first thing I believe is making kindness and mercy a priority. I don't ever hear sermons preached on kindness. I don't ever hear sermons preached on gentleness. And yet the Bible says, thy gentleness made me great. Okay? And I don't ever see that incredible sort of message on being kind to one another. In fact, what scares me about the body of Christ sometimes is the people that come up and say, let me tell you the truth in love. And you know there will not be love. It will just be truth unless you really have a relationship with that person. And so it says this in verse 17. Chapter 10 of verse 17, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome. God's saying, excuse me, I am great, all right? Would you believe it? And it says, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. Right? I feel very, 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 very sorry for Russian Christians in business. Because with the mafia over there, if you don't pay your bribes and pay your dues, you may end up being one flash in your ash. If you stay in Russia for any time, you'll hear bombs go off. And oftentimes it's mafia killing people off who haven't paid their dues. I'm going in places like Asia and some African countries. It's almost like you can't do anything without paying a bribe. Can I tell you a funny story there? Yeah, okay. I was with an American pastor down in Alabama, and he went into the Ukraine, and they confiscated from him his video camera, which didn't belong to him. All right? And he was really worried. He went and did his meetings, came back, got shoved around the offices for 4 hours trying to get his video camera back. They wouldn't give it to him back, and the interpreter kept saying this. He kept saying, you know, let me go find a friend. That means pay a bribe, all right? And he's saying, I will not pay a bribe. So after about the fourth hour, he's sitting in an office with a big Ukraine lady. They really are sometimes like that. And she's stamping forms and glaring at him over her counter. And he's saying, God, you've got to help me. I need to get this video camera back. Please help me, God. And he's a little short, bald American, you know, and he said, give me wisdom, show me what to do. God said, throw a fit. So he says, what? He says, throw a fit. So this little short American proper pastor begins to fake a fit. He fell out of his chair and threw a fit onto the floor, rolled around, okay? She leapt up from her chair, ran to the corner, screamed. Looked at him. He kept throwing a fit because God hadn't told him to stop. Look at terrible faith. She runs back to the desk, stamps his form, throws it at him on the floor, runs back to the corner, screams again. He throws some more fit, picks the form up, fits his way out of the room, recovers amazingly quickly, and picks up his video camera. Says, God, you've got to give me a scripture to confirm what I just did. He said, David at Ziklag, where he played mad. Eh? Isn't that cool? So God shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the stranger. I remember when I first got married to my husband, he lived in a subdivided garage, four rooms, no curtains on the windows, concrete floors, mats on the floors with holes in them where the termites came through. You can see I married him for his money. All right, and we had a little outroom, and we began to do up the outroom as the guest room because we knew we might entertain angels unawares, and we better begin to fix our outroom. Eventually, it was the only room with carpet on the floor, curtains, wonderful beds, bath salts, a bathroom, all sorts of things, because we might entertain angels unawares. And we have made hospitality a priority in our lives. And every time I thought I was getting a sewing room, it became another hospitality room. All right? And what do we do then? Well, we look at this scripture. And it says he administers justice for the fatherless. And we went looking for the fatherless. We've knitted into our lives consciously people without fathers and mothers or without family. How many do you have knitted into your life? I went up to a young guy. I get accused of picking up young men. But I went into a big church down in Cape Town and I was ministering. And there was a young guy there, and I started a chat to him. He was Scottish, and he was overdoing his master's degree in geology. And I said, sweetheart, what are you doing at Christmas time? He said, I don't know. I said, you want a family? Come be with us as a Christmas for the Christmas. And we have actually stitched Colin into our lives. I mean, so far that I remember standing at the washing line one day and saying, Colin, come here. He said, yeah. I said, see these jocks? Underwear. I said, you need new underwear, Colin. He said, now you really are like my mother. Okay? It says he administers justice for the fatherless. How many fatherless do you have in your lives? It will extend you if you look for some. Then the widow. Now we live in the middle of nowhere, man. We're 25 minutes from a tiny town called what used to be called the Hendrik Verwoerd Dam town. It's now called Harriet Dam. There's hardly anybody there. We consciously hunted out widows. Do you have widows attached to your life? Now, if you see me when I'm traveling, I'm looking for fridge magnets. One of my widows collects fridge magnets, and she looks like she has traveled the whole world. She's got wax ears on her fridge. She's got the weirdest collection of fridge magnets you could ever see. It happens to be a hobby. I can be really, really tired when I get home. But if I haven't seen Pat for a while, and about 2 days after I get home, I'll ring and say, come on, where are you? Come over for a meal. Yeah? You want to be extended and stretched, develop people into your life. It ministers justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the stranger. But we have an ability to pick up tramps. I remember one tramp we had stay with us years ago, and As we brought him home and we feed him, we give him a three-course meal and put him into the guest room and we let him have a shower and a sleep, and they're usually all sunburnt from the road. And God said, give him a job. He needs a job for a while. He needs family. He said, okay, so I employed him to do something he wasn't very good at and didn't need doing anyway, but that was okay. And here was a guy with no teeth. He had no teeth at all. I remember sitting in the lounge room at one stage and him, we were eating hazelnut chocolate, and my daughter was about 5 years old. She came over to me. She said, he went out to have a cigarette. I said, a fag in America, and people nearly died, and I realized I shouldn't have said that word anymore. He went outside to have a cigarette. He wasn't a Christian. She came to me with a handful of the cleanest hazelnuts you've ever seen. She said, Mommy, can I eat these? And I looked and I went, no, don't eat those, because they fuck the chocolate off and bat the hazelnuts out. Yeah? All right. So, and before the tramps leave our place, we lay hands on them and pray for them, and that's the best part. And then we often sometimes give them money and give them food and give them bottles of water, and Jeff takes them to a place and helps them get a lift. Okay? When was the last time you picked up someone who was a stranger? Yeah? And then it says giving him. Oh, there's where the rubber hits the road. I've regularly had a wardrobe that's been empty. I've regularly gone ministering into camps and things in my tracksuits because I had no clothes left. When's the last time you went to your wardrobe? And my daughter used to say, Mummy, why do you always give your most beautiful things away? I said, sweetheart, because they could be angels and they need to be spoiled. When's the last time God told you to do that? You see, it's no good telling your kids you live it. Yeah, years ago, Lisa used to say, Mummy, why do you always give your beautiful things away? I said, Jesus will bless me back. She says, but Mummy, I like that. You know, and I went ministering, came back, and she unpacked my suitcase. And while I was away at the end of the camp that I did in tracksuits, remember another time doing a camp, and they said, you really like black, don't you? And I was like, no, it's the only color left in my wardrobe. You know, because we had missionaries stay with us and stuff. And she began to unpack my case, and a lady had come up to me and given me a pile of clothes and said, I really want to bless you. Okay? I guess she didn't like my tracksuits. And my daughter unpacked, she said, oh, Mummy, this is pretty. Oh, Mummy, I've never seen that before. Oh, Mummy, where did that come from? I said, sweetheart, what did Jesus do? She said, oh, Mummy, Jesus blessed you. Want to see enlargement in your family, begin to do what he tells you to do. And it says, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. Love is an act, it's not a feeling. I'm sorry. It's a choice, it's an act, it's a decision of your will. It makes you feel all sweet and icky the first time you do it, but the 40th time you do it as an act of your will. Okay? It's got nothing to do with feelings. First thing to get enlarged is make kindness and mercy a priority. Secondly, obey the voice of God. Don't look it up. Exodus 34 verse 24 says, I will cast out nations before you and enlarge your borders. Now you cannot have nations cast out before you unless you are going before. And I believe oftentimes I see in the word God gave children of Israel territory. Okay? He said, enjoy that territory. And if you want some more, go out and take it, and I'll move the giants out. Most Christians take their little bit of territory and say, isn't that lovely, and build a veggie garden. And they never push out their borders into more. And they never stretch out into more. And what happened to the children of Israel when they didn't take more territory over the borders, the enemy came into their nation and took more territory in their borders. And in the end, even what was their legal territory was lost. And I think sometimes God gives us legal territory, stuff that's our territory. And then he says, stretch yourself, come on more. And as you do, I will enlarge you. And I'll throw some giants out. But if you do not do it, you can guarantee you will go backwards. You won't go anywhere. You'll go backwards. You'll get pushed back into smaller regions than even God has destined for you. And so I see that if we obey God's voice and do obediently the things he's told us to do, we get enlarged. When was the last time you heard God's voice say to you, give that thing to someone? Ring that person. Go and visit that person. Speak that person's name. Go touch that person. Huh? When was the last time you actually heard him say something? I sat in a coffee shop called the Mug and Bean in Bloemfontein, and having my coffee, waiting for my husband to bring my daughter. He was picking her up at boarding school. Minding my own business, I'm drinking an iced coffee and thought, I'm being boring. Well, there's got to be something for me to do here. So I turned on my heat-seeking missile mechanism. Beep, 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 beep. Where is it? Beep, beep. And I began to look around, and there was another lady I saw, and God began to show me some things about it. And then my eye caught Erin, the girl that was waiting on me. I said, Erin, honey, come here. And she said, yes. And I said, sweetheart, are you a Christian? Have you given your life to Jesus? She went, yes. And I said, well, honey, as soon as I said those words, God filled my mouth with a prophecy. And she began to cry. She knelt down next to me. She was sobbing and wiping her eyes and crying and crying. And Jeff and Lisa came in and it was like, oh, typical mummy. Like, I, you know. Because if you do not start to step out and believe God to give you something, it will never happen. God really touched that young girl. It's about time we start to enlarge past our limitations. Maybe your limitations are your taste buds. Maybe it's your love of your bed. Yeah, I remember years ago, I had a boyfriend I really loved, and we moved together powerfully in the Holy Spirit, and then I was working in a homeless and destitute youth organization. We were more destitute than the youth. We used to have to pray our clothes in the rag bag and stuff like that. And I was sleeping on a bed at home that was so uncomfortable, you cannot believe it. And I began to develop a fixation on beds. You know, I'd say, oh, a bed sale. And at lunchtime, I'd walk through the city and go, oh, look, beds, you know. One morning I woke up and there was a list, and in my spirit I saw God saying, what do you choose? And the first thing on the list was the boyfriend. And I cried and I said, I give him to you, Jesus. And the second thing on the list was a bed. And I remember crying and saying, I don't care if I ever have another bed of my own ever again. It's okay. I choose you, Jesus. 20 years into traveling ministry, I want to tell you, I could write a book on the beds I have known. Yeah, as long as it's clean, it's cool, baby. I believe that very often we have borders in our life and limitations. And I spoke about the other night, I want to say to you, look at what your limitations are. Look at the things you've never done. Okay, Psalm 119, verse 32, don't look it up. It says, I will run in the way of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. How do you get an enlarged heart? You start to do what he tells you. You don't wait for the icky, sticky feelings. You start to do what he tells you. Then begin to be people who take risks. Deuteronomy 33, verse 20, talks about the Gadites that were blessed with enlargement. In fact, it says, blessed is he who enlarges Gad. Now, who were Gad? Gad was warfare people. Now, if you want enlargement, get into warfare. If you want to see God begin to enlarge your borders and enlarge your destiny, enlarge your potential, get into warfare, get into prayer. In fact, the Bible says, blessed are those who enlarge the warfare people. And God loves those warfare people so much. Number one, he wants to enlarge them. And number two, he wants to bless people who enlarge them. Yeah? Take some risks. Get into some warfare. Bible talks about David's mighty men as men of might and men fit for battle. If you died now, would you be known as a man or a woman of might and valor? I think our generation, my generation, has been a very ungutsy generation. Lacking courage, lacking push-through ability. I see God raising up some awesome young men and young women in the Spirit who just are pushing out on all borders and say, God, I don't care what it costs, but I want to see God be God. But I firmly believe that our generation has been wussies, we call them in South Africa. I don't know what you call them, wimps. And I think that's scary, and I'm determined I won't be one of them. And I believe we need to be determined to take more risks. And I spoke last night and said, we need to take risks. Then I believe we need to ask. In the story of Jabez, can we have a quick look at that? I'm really trying to go fast. Are you still alive and not cooked or anything? Have a look at 1 Chronicles. We're just going to look at the Jabez prayer, chapter 4. Jabez was very radical in his generation because all anyone else ever did was begat. What did you do with your life? I begat. And what did you do? I begat too. And what did you do? I also begat. And then there's a weird guy, and his name is Jabez. And it says, and Jabez, whose name meant misery features. And if you want negative confession over your life, imagine being called misery every day of your life. Right? Hey, misery! Gee, thanks a lot. You imagine what it was like. I always wonder what his mum was like. All right? I always think, I wonder what his mum was like, because every time he walked past, she must have gone, whoa! Oh, that was a hard labor. Oh, you really hurt coming out. Because that's what she called him, misery, born in misery, caused me pain. And Jabez doesn't just beget. Okay? It says he was more honorable. I believe the key to the Jabez prayer is the more honorable bit. All right? 1 Chronicles, and it's chapter 4, verse 9. I believe that Jabez was more honorable, and that was the key to seeing the blessing of God. And sometimes we say, let's just say the Jabez prayer, sweetheart, you be more honorable. And then ask. And then ask. It says, he was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. You are such a pain. Imagine being called a pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. Half the people that get called a pain and their life is painful live in pain and let the pain of the past dictate the pain for their future. And I think that's scary. Jabez says, I may be called pain, but I won't be it, sweetheart. Up your nose, no way, I won't be it, that's it. My past will not dictate my future in God. And it says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. Many people never call on God when they've been through a hard thing and say, God, reverse my potential. God, I've got all the potential for destruction, for prison, for whatever. I don't care. Reverse my potential and make me awesome. I choose on being honorable. And then it says, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed. And I believe that God wants to bless us. But I believe he loves to bless honorable people so people can say truly it's because he served the Lord. Do you realize that the Gujarat earthquake in India, they had friends over there taking food aid in, the very day it struck was when they were going to make that area a Christian-free zone, as in no Christians allowed. And the Hindus were running around saying, this is the God of the Christians. True. Friends of mine said they went into one place and the Christians had been in a higher building and they'd been praying that day. Felt like they really had to pray. And when they tried to get out of the building after the earthquake, they tried to get out the door, they couldn't. They'd been on the top floor of a building. They walked out a window onto the ground level. The rest of the building had been swallowed by the ground and their floor was level with the ground. Yeah? It says, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. I don't think you can get your territory enlarged until you know where your borders are. Until you know what you've never done. In South Africa, 2 out of every 3 15-year-old boys will die of HIV complications. Can you imagine 2 out of every 3 15-year-old boys that you know being dead from AIDS? That's pretty scary, isn't it? I tell you what, we don't need gifts of prophecy in South Africa. We need gifts of healing and miracles. That's what we need. And I'm watching the whole church turning around and becoming very active in the AIDS area now. Very active. I tell you what, one of the signs of an apostolic church is care for the hungry and the lonely and the needy and the damaged. A passion for the poor is part of the apostolic commission. And it says, oh, that you will bless me and indeed and enlarge my territory. And it says that your hand would be with me. That's the right hand of authority, the right hand of power, the right hand of direction, the right hand of liberty. It's the yard hand. It's not an ordinary hand. And then it says that you would keep me from evil, that you would do a sovereign protection over me. And I believe we need a belief of protection. And then it says that I may not cause pain. In other words, I may not be a pain to anyone. God wants to bless you that you may be a blessing to others. Your motive for asking him to bless you must be that I can bless other people. And I shared a bit on that last night. I said, I pray, God, can I give you more money? You got to give me some more money so I can give it away. And he did, and I did. It was the last time you said, God, give me more finances so I can redistribute more finances. Yeah? If that's your motive, God will do it. So God granted him what he requested. Hannah came before God and said, I want a son, I want a son, I want a son. God didn't give her one. One day she said, I want a son and I'll give him back to you. Bang! There was the breakthrough. Afterwards, God gave her a heap of children. What's the result when God blesses you because you ask? Bible says about Hannah, my mouth was enlarged over my enemies. What does that mean? It means she did this. And I believe that one of the reasons God wants us to ask and that he wants to bless us is so we can enlarge our mouth over our enemies. And we can go, ah, see? All right, two more points and I'm finished. Have a look at Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54 and verse 1 to 5. How else do we get enlarged? Because I believe God wants to enlarge every one of you in the Spirit. I don't believe, if you think you're fine, you're dead. Simple as that. If you think you've got it all together, you're dead. Because every one of us needs to keep growing and believing for more in God. And Isaiah 54 is a very common, well-known scripture. It says, sing, O barren. I do not know any Christian that hasn't got some area of barrenness in their life. I don't know any Christian that hasn't got some area of barrenness in their life. I had a friend in South Africa and God spoke to her and said, she was a worship leader, he said, get all the barren women in the church together and make them worship me for an hour once a week together. And it was a very, very big church. She actually had a lot of ladies. By the end of the year, 90-something percent of all the barren ladies were pregnant or had had children. Sing, O barren. What's your barren area? What's your barren area? What's the area just never breaks through? You know what it says? Sing over it. So what do you do? Maybe it's your kids. And you sing over it. Lord, I thank you for my children, greatly best they really will be. I am trusting you for breakthrough, for you're the God of liberty. I will sing until they come in. I will sing with great power. I'll declare your glory on them, for I trust you in this hour. When was the last time you sang over an area of barrenness? Say, I can't sing, neither can I. Sing, O barren, you who haven't born. Now, it doesn't just say, sing miserably. I am so miserable with my husband. He's the biggest rat bag in the world. That doesn't say that, right? It says, break forth into singing and cry aloud. When was the last time you frightened your neighbors? When was the last time you actually frightened your neighbors by your high praise? Huh? And then it says, you who have not labored with child, for more of the children of the desolate, all right, more. And when God adds, it is never ones. Out of barrenness never come ordinary children. You realize that? They're John the Baptist's. They're Samson's. They're Samuel's. They're Isaac's. They're deliverers of nations. They're prophets. They're strong men in warfare. They're revelators. They're people with revelation before God. They're forerunners and breakthrough people. Not one person that came out of barrenness was an ordinary child. And if you've got an area of barrenness in your life, sweetheart, I promise you that if you hang in there and hang in there and hang in there and believe God, when something breaks through, it won't be ordinary. And then it says, for more are the children of the desolate. When you come out of something barren, God gives you double or treble. Right? It's not just ordinary. Then the children of the married woman, says the Lord, enlarge the place of your tent. Do it. You say, God, you've called me to hospitality. Believe God for finances to build on a hospitality room. Huh? You know, buy a piece of the furniture. Expecting to have a room to put it in. I shared with someone the other day that, friends of mine in England, I think three lots of Assemblies people, God said to them, I want you to buy your property. I think one was an England person, actually. He said, buy your property. They said, okay, God, we got no money. He said, well, how much do we offer? He said, £2. They went to the council. They said, we want to buy our property. They said, okay, how much are you offering? £2. They laughed. 2 weeks later, they had the papers in their hands, and all they had to do was pray the transfer fees. Enlarge the place of your tent, it says, and let them stretch out. your dwellings. I wonder who's the them. When you enlarge your tent, I believe other people come in and they start to stretch you. I believe every one of you should have people stitched into your life who move in a greater anointing than you do. And they'll stretch you. A different sort of ministry from you. They'll stretch you. Let them stretch you. But I believe you need to have young people in your life that will stretch you too. And I've among my apostolic advisors have some young men. They stretch me more than the old ones do, honey. And then it says, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Don't be stingy and mingy and cheap and small-minded. And I don't care whether that's financially, whether that's emotionally, whether that's spiritually. Don't be mingy. Be a person that says, hey, God, can I give you more? Hey, God, can I do more? Hey, God, what else can we do? Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Why? Because every time you lengthen and strengthen cords and stakes, it's because a storm's coming. And honey, if you start to enlarge your borders, the enemy will bring a storm. I will guarantee it on your dream. I guarantee it. And that means you've got to dig those little stakes down. You've got to put those cords in. You've got to get some stability in your dream. You've got to know God's going to do it, because the storm's going to turn up and try and blow you away. For you shall expand to the right and to the left. That looks like double portion to me. I'm sorry. And then it says your descendants will inherit the nations. Every time you choose an enlargement, your kids will get enlarged too. You want your kids enlarged and they're calling God and they're believing God? Sweetheart, get yourself enlarged. Don't talk it, walk it. And make the desolate cities inhabited. I want my kids to inherit nations and make desolate places habitable. What do you want for your kids? Is that what you want for your kids? Okay, you start to stretch your tent. It says, don't fear, no, you won't be ashamed, neither will you be disgraced. Goes on verse 5, for your maker is your husband. He is very fertile. Okay? If you let him be your husband in that barren area, he is very fertile. Never has barrenness. And you start saying, God, over every husband, over every wife in my life, over every person in my life, you are my maker. You're my husband. Lord of hosts is his name. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. Excuse me. Excuse me. He's the God of the whole earth. Okay. So what am I saying? I'm saying you get every area that's dry and barren and you haven't had some change for a while, I'd suggest you're starting to die. And say, God, I want some change. All right. Finally, I believe that to be stretched and enlarged, you need to have an expectant belief in God's goodness and protection and care. And don't look it up. Psalm 4 verse 1 says, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. And I've found that God will give you promises of enlargement when you're in the most miserable position you've ever been in and you haven't got the faith to scratch yourself. He loves to enlarge you when you're in distress. You know why? Because you're all mushed up then and soft. All right? Psalm 18 verse 36 says, you even enlarged my feet so they didn't slip. All right, my path, so my feet didn't slip, sorry. It says, you enlarged my path, so my feet didn't slip. I saw God going geek with the path. In fact, he didn't. That verse says, you enlarged my ankle bones. You gave me fat ankle bones. So I just stayed on the path better than I thought I could before. I believe you need a vision for enlargement, every one of you. Those of you that are in the music team, you should be believing God for prophetic songs, new way to minister in song. You should be studying the songs in the Bible. There's a lot of songs in the Bible. There's not just one type of song or two types of song, warfare and worship. There's not. Okay? You need to start to say, God, if I play an instrument, I'm going to take time all alone with Jesus, and I'm going to practice singing to you. You know, I'm going to practice different ways. We get stuffy. I said to someone here last night, I said, do you realize you can actually pray in tongues in poetry? Is tongues a language? Yes, it is. All right? So why not, instead of going, why not do this? Huh? Stuffy. Let's not be stuffy. Yeah? All right. I believe we need a vision for enlargement for our ministry. We need a vision for enlargement for our children. We need a vision for enlargement for our hobbies. God, use every hobby I've got for your glory. If you do real good craft work, set up a class. Make people pay. Otherwise, they'll think it's a trap, and it will be. And start to share Jesus. Look for new ways to use every single skill and ability you have in your life for the glory of the King. Believe God for new countries to go to. I believe God for new countries every single year for ministry. Okay? I choose to stretch myself. Believe Him for new boldness. Believe Him for new gifts of the Holy Spirit. Bible says this, now unto Him who is able, He is able, to do exceedingly, abundantly. I find when we start to step out and trust God, He always does exceedingly abundantly. Way more than you think. Above all we ask or even think, according to the power that works in us. I think we're dreaming too small. I want to say to you, whatever you need extending, it's about time you get extended. Now, I believe God's looking for a body that is moving out for more. The scariest scripture in the Bible for me is the story about David when he went off with Bathsheba, and the prophet came and he says, I gave you your king's houses, and I gave you land, and I gave the king's wives, and I would have given you more. I do not want to get to be with Jesus and have Him say, Kerry, you did a lot for me, but Kerry, I'd have given you more. Kerry, I'd have given you more. I want to go, oh God, everything you gave me, I pushed and stretched and trusted you. We had a blast, God, far out. But I don't want to say, have Him say, I would have given you more. I believe we need a dream into more territory in God. Amen. Hello?
Amen.
Yeah? I believe if you're someone and you have never been stretched into being baptized, the Bible doesn't say repent, think of it for 100 years and never do it. It says repent and be baptized. I don't care what background you come from. The Bible says repent and be baptized. It actually says repent first and then be baptized second. And it says I was buried with Him in baptism. Now, I've never seen just a head buried. I'm sorry. It usually is the body. Can you imagine a graveyard if they just buried heads? There'd be skeleton trees standing up all over the place. It says, I was buried in baptism, raised with Him in newness of life. Say, I've never done it. You better get your act together. Don't tell me you're obedient to God if you've not been baptized. Don't even bother. Bible says that Jesus came and He said He was the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, He didn't run a survey, say, would you like tongues, dear? You don't want tongues, never mind. On the day of Pentecost, He went whoosh, blew them all out of the place, all speaking in tongues. Who did it? Jesus did it. Was it His will? Absolutely, without a question. And it still is today. And you say, God, I want this, but I don't want that. You've got a border. And it's about time you say, God, I want to be filled with your power. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want everything you've got. But if you're someone who's been sitting in the same position somehow in the Spirit for years and years and years, and you've really not moved out into who you're called to be in God, it's about time you say, God, I want more of who you are. And you've never been used in a gift of healing. You've never cast out demons. You say, I cast my mother-in-law out. Did that work? Part of the power pack was your starter pack for getting baptized in the Spirit was this. I'll cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead. All right? If I drink anything poisonous, it shouldn't harm me. I'll heal the lepers. That was your starter pack. I know you've all worked through that one, and you're on to greater works than these, shall you do. And if you haven't worked through your whole starter pack, I'd suggest you better be believing for it. Okay. So I believe God's calling us to enlargement. I'm sorry to go on long. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. You are the God of enlargement. And Father, we get so boring sometimes, you need to grab us by the hair and drag us into you. Father, right now by your Spirit, I pray that you cause these people, first of all, to be coverers of one another. Carers and coverers where people have been wounded until they can get themselves together again. But Father, that they would be people that would look to see who they can put into their lives, make mercy and kindness a priority in their lives. That they would begin to ask and dream and step out and warfare for their dreams, Jesus. But they'd learn how to sing of every barren area that's in their lives. Father, I pray that every one of them would be enlarged. They wouldn't be snippy enlarged, they'd be awesomely enlarged. Father, if we could only see in the Spirit our potential, we will be so disappointed for the areas we've only moved in. And Father, I ask that you begin to cause enlargement to happen. First of all, if there's anyone here and you have never, ever, ever, ever prayed and said, Jesus, come into my life, and you're not 100% sure that Jesus really is your Lord, you've been religious, but you're not relationship, and you have never prayed and asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, I want you to put your hand up and say, I need to believe for that now. I want Jesus to come into my life and take over my life 100%. And I know he wants me to do that. And if you have never prayed that prayer, I want you to flip your hand up very quickly and say, I want to make Jesus my Lord. Anyone here, you've never said, God, I've done a whole pile of things where I've messed up. And I ask your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me clean and give me a brand new start. Anyone here never prayed that prayer? Never prayed that prayer. So this church should be filled with non-believers. Should be filled with non-believers. If someone and you have never been filled with the Holy Spirit and spoken in tongues. Last night we saw a whole pile of people, young people and old people, baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. You say, I've never been filled with the Spirit. I've never spoken in tongues. I want everything God's got. Maybe you've been prayed for before by people and nothing happened. You say, I need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you've not been filled with the Spirit today, I want you to put your hand up and say, me. I want everything God's got. Okay, one. Come on, there's some more. Never been filled with the Spirit and spoken in tongues. You say, I need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I want you to just put your hands straight up and say, me. Never spoken in tongues. Never been filled with the Spirit. I want everything God's got for me. Anyone here? There's been one lady. Anyone else? Okay. A man over here. Two. Come on, there's several more. I can actually see in the Spirit who's not filled with the Spirit here. Okay. Never been baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoken in tongues. You say, I need that. I want to be supernatural people for God. I want to be a supernatural person. Never been filled with the Spirit. Anyone else? Never. Never. Now I want to pray for you for baptism in the Holy Spirit. Anyone else? Say, God, I want everything God's got for me. Everything God's got for me. You see, it's not good enough to be filled with the Spirit. You've got to use it once you've got it. Once you've got the baptism. And you maybe need to say, God, I need enlargement. I want enlargement today. And I can see all sorts of areas that need to be stretched and pulled. And I encourage you. What we're going to do, we're going to pray for those two people for baptism in the Holy Spirit. And if you want to say, God, as a sign, I know I need change. I haven't been changed for years. I'm boring. One enlargement. And if that's you, then we're going to give opportunity for people to be ministered to. Okay. But what I want to do, I want to say, first of all, if you need to leave, feel free to leave. But if you're hungry for God to enlarge you and stretch you, and we didn't pray for you last night, and you know you need enlargement, I'm going to pray for you for that. But the two people that put their hand up for baptism in the Spirit, I'm going to get you to come forward now. Amen. Okay. All right. If you put your hand up for baptism in the Spirit, I want you to come on forward. This man here, this lady here. Anyone else that should have joined them and didn't have enough guts? All right. If you need to leave, feel free to leave. Let me see who wants prayer today for enlargement. You say, God, I want to be enlarged. She, I want to be enlarged. Okay, amen. Yes. Okay, wonderful. All right, I want to pray for you today. We're going to get in there and be able to begin to minister to you. Especially musicians. I tell you what, we're just not touching anything in the music realm yet in the spirit. I'm watching some people break the boundaries of what they'd normally do. And I encourage those ones, get in there and play and try and see what God will give you. Okay, if you need to leave, feel free to go. Okay? You're all sitting there? Okay. All right. If you have never prayed for anyone for baptism in the Holy Spirit, that's an area God wants to enlarge you in. Yes? That's an area God wants to enlarge you in. And so if you've never prayed for baptism in the Spirit, I want you to just listen on how we pray for people and trust God to use you that way. Sit there and say, I want an anointing in that area.